Nice to see everyone this evening. We'll kick off with a word of prayer here as we get started. Our Heavenly Father, we do give thanks for the opportunity to be together in person. We don't take it for granted, Lord. We don't take it lightly. We are thankful for your word. Again, this is something that is precious to us. It reveals your heart to us. So many valuable things that we can glean and understand from Scripture. It is a light for our path. Father, we pray that you would give us understanding tonight as we look at various Scriptures. We pray for the ability to apply your word to our own life, to our own situation. We know that it's powerful. We know that it is very, very much able to specifically help us in whatever phase of life we're in whatever stage of life, in whatever difficulty or circumstance. Your word is sufficient to guide us. And so, Father, we purpose tonight to study it, to take it in, and we pray for your help, recognizing our dependence on thee. And we pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please turn with me to Psalm 90. Psalm 90. As Michael slipped out. But Caitlin, what was the little guy's name that Michael was holding? Noah. You know, as they were up here saying their memory verse, the thought occurred to me as Michael was holding Noah, that ventriloquism probably took a hit, with the mask wearing. That industry probably is not faring so well, or maybe better. I don't know. But Psalm 90, I'd like you to go to verse 17, which is the very last verse in the chapter there. Psalm 90 and verse 17. It says, "And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it." As we look at this particular verse here in Scripture, we see that, there's kind of like two different sections that are in here, right? There's the first part that is talking about the beauty of the Lord, our God, and there's a request to be upon us, that God's beauty would actually be brought on us. Now, remember, we're created in God's image. We are in His likeness. We are being conformed into the image of His Son. But there's this request, God's beauty. Let God's beauty be upon us, not only through creation, but the fact that we're created in His image, but also with our actions. Let God's beauty be upon us. The second part of the verse goes and it repeats this phrase twice about the work of our hands. And it's this request, that this prayer, if you will, establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Establish the work of our hands. And so we have these two parts of this verse. I want to look at a New Testament parallel to this. But before we do that, let's ask this question, okay? And you can raise your hand and answer where everybody can hear you. I'd like to ask this question. We talked about the beauty of the Lord being upon us, and we talked about God establishing the work of our hands. Would you raise your hand and give me a suggestion of what you think of when you think about the work of our hands? We can have anyone, young or old. And we can have multiple answers to this, right? Because everybody's got a thought when it says the work. Now, I don't think we've met yet. What's your name?
I'm James.
James. Go ahead, James.
When it comes to work of your hands, when I think about it, I haven't really read anything on Scripture for it.
Right. There you go. Okay. Very good. Very good. I say amen to what you said. And so give me an example, though. You're saying the work of your hands is anything. Is that right?
Yes, it could be.
Okay.
It depends on how you view it.
Gotcha.
I guess. If you're looking at works of your hands as in simple manufacturing or, you know, just using your hands to do something, then
right.
That can be counted as a work of hands. Yep,
yep. Gotcha. All right, another thought. Arnold?
Carpenter.
Sagan? Carpenter?
Carpenter.
All right, the work of hand, which is along what you're saying. Okay, yep. What else? An example of the work of our hands. What's your name?
Marissa.
Hi, Marissa.
Hi.
Yeah, go ahead.
Preparing food.
That's right, yeah. Okay, preparing food. You know, the hands get prayed for a lot during thanks for, you know, bless the hands that prepared this meal, right? All right, Jonathan.
Gardening.
Say again.
Gardening.
Yep. Work of our hands. Gardening. Aaron.
Sign language.
There. Wow. That's right. The work of the hands, being able to communicate a message. James, you got another thought? Okay. Very good. Now, this is good. So we're thinking about like. Why would we read in the scripture, why would there be a request to establish the work of our hands? Now, let's take this, and all these were good things. The scripture's not moving us in a particular direction in this. How about in a spiritual sense? If we were thinking about the work of our hands in a spiritual sense, what would that be look like maybe? Gavin? Or Caleb, excuse me. Okay. Yep. So that you're dedicating your devoting time to studying the word. Roy?
About camp work, camp ministry.
Okay. There you go. What were we going to say?
Take care of the sick and needy.
All right. Yeah. Yeah. So, Joanna? Hey, I'm glad somebody finally said that one, you know? Yeah, so we, what's your name? Micah. Yeah.
I think it also goes back to the sort of occupation sense of your calling. You go to Psalm 144, where it goes, blessed be the Lord, my God, who uses my hands to war, my fingers to fight. He then goes,
there you go.
What is man that they're mindful of them?
Yeah. All right, good. I appreciate that. So you see, we're not confining this to one particular area or aspect or like it's just what you do for a living. It's really quite broad. The work of our hands, the things that we lay our hands to do, whether it physical or spiritual. And so there's this, let's look at the verse again. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. And so this can be a prayer request, and it's very valid. Go ahead over to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. I'll give credit to Fred Olson, wrote a commentary a generation prior, and he calls this particular Ephesians chapter 2 a parallel to the Psalm 90 verse 17 that we just wrote, and let's look at this and we'll see if we agree why this is a parallel. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. And so remember the first half of Psalm 90, 17 talked about the beauty of God being upon us. And what's this talking about is the grace of God being upon us. It's a gift of God, right? That's the beauty of God that's been extended to us. And then he goes on, we read on and said, not by works, not by man's work. And I'll interject this, not by the work of our hands, right? Lest any person should boast. And then look at verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. And here's the second half of the Psalm verse. Here's the work of our hands. We're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, unto the work of our hands, unto the playing out of our faith by the work of our hands. We're saved unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them, that we should do them, right? And so, yeah, when we consider this, we've got this aspect that God has allowed you and I to be his visible representation on earth. We are his hands, right? We are his feet. We are the ones that are carrying out his work. He could have done it a million different ways, but he chose to incorporate you and I in his service. In fact, he chose you and I as a project. We are his workmanship. And we, as we accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, then we become his workmanship, and he's got an idea, he's got a concept, he's got a will that he wants us to accomplish for him, and it's the playing out of that is the work of our hands. And so we say, yes, God, let your beauty be upon me, and establish thou the work of my hands. Go to Galatians chapter 5, please. Galatians chapter 5. And as we consider the book of Galatians, Paul is credited for writing the book of Galatians, and he is establishing or reaffirming his apostleship, the authority that he has, that he's gotten this information from God himself and is relaying it to this group of area churches in Galatia, the area of Galatia. And so we see there's like these kind of natural divisions in chapter 1 and 2, and then chapter 3 and 4 kind of make a little couplet, and then chapters 5 and 6. And so he's refuting some error or false doctrine that has crept in, and allowing the faith alone, the Lord Jesus Christ and faith in him alone and his finished work on Calvary, to be the basis of our salvation. But then in the last two, he builds up to this, and the last two chapters are chapters about the practical outworking of our faith in Christ and our life as believers. And so in chapter 5, we've got some wonderful teaching. This is where we get the fruit of the Spirit and the being Spirit-led. And chapter 6, we have some more ways to just practically carry out our faith. I've asked you to look at chapter 5 and verse 13. And thinking along this theme about the work of our hands, and look at chapter 5 and verse 13. It says, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." If I could very easily, by the whip of my hand, put on the screen a phrase that would be blinking right now, it would be that last little phrase, "By love serve one another." Okay? By love serve one another. In fact, why don't we all say it together? Okay? On the count of three. One, two, three. By love serve one another. Yeah, so here we want to connect what we're laying out. Lord, let your beauty be upon us. Establish thou the work of our hands. We are created. We are his workmanship, and as we've been developed, we've been saved unto good works. We're not saved by good works, as the whole book of Galatians drives that point home, but we are saved to do good works, right? Would you agree with that? That once we are saved, we are to do good works. Now, I'm going to suggest to you that these good works are the work of our hands, and that this is what the psalmist is asking God to establish, the work of our hands, the good works. So by love, serve one another. This whole concept of service, well, we probably all have our different ideas about it. And I don't know if our American society helps or hinders the concept of serving. We would probably come to this conclusion that serving one another is not a natural instinct. Would you agree with that? Who do we like to serve? Right. The numero uno, we like to serve ourselves. In fact, well, this little passage right here tells us that God knew that. You know, he did design us. I don't know if, and he knew our tendency. He knew the tendency of the flesh would be to serve self. And not self-serve ice cream. That's biblical, you know. Like, but to the fact that we would serve self. So we read verse 13, and I'll just add this to look at verse 14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Why did he give us loving ourselves as a barometer or as a gauge as to how we should love others? Aaron, is that for me?
Yes.
Man, are you trying to be a practical example of our lesson here? Of serving one another by love, serving one another? No, okay. But you're doing it whether you know it or not. So, why did he give us this yardstick of love others as yourself? Because we're good at it, right? We're good at loving me. We're good at serving me. And so, here, if we consider this concept, by love, serve one another. Turn over with me to John chapter 13, please. By love, serve one another. And serve others as we would want to be served. Serve others because we would see what's being trying to be communicated out in Scripture. John chapter 13, we have this example of the Lord Jesus foot washing. He's here at the upper room. He's with his disciples, and he's going to wash their feet. And so, if we think about this in the fact that he is, would we agree he is serving them, right? Let's go ahead and read this, and we'll talk about it a little bit more. I'm not going to. You'll remember the fact that he after supper's being ended, he girds himself, he takes the towel, he goes and he washes the disciples' feet. We have that little place where Peter says, no, Lord, and then he comes full circle and says, yes, Lord, give me the full treatment, you know, not just the basic, but the super wash. And so you've got that. And then we pick up there in verse 12, chapter 13 and verse 12. So after he had washed their feet and taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, this is the Lord Jesus speaking to the disciples, you know what I have done to you. Do you understand? He's saying, do you understand what I've just done? You call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, that's correct, for I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash the feet of one another. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. And we'll just finish out the next two verses. Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are you if you, what? Do them. Now, I grew up in a Christian home. And so a lot of the Bible illustrations, the examples, Sunday school lessons, that's very familiar. And there's a tremendous advantage to having that kind of background. There's also, though, this familiarity that can kind of sometimes, either you presuppose something or you think you got it figured out, or you kind of miss something. I think this is an example in my own life, I'll speak for me, where I didn't really grab a hold of it. You know, it's like I kind of look at this passage as, you know, foot washing, well, we don't have to do that today, right? And I kind of glaze over, like, is this an ordinance, like baptism and the Lord's Supper? Should we also be doing foot washing too? And like you kind of figure that out, like, okay, whew, no, we don't have to do foot washing. This was just something that he was doing for the disciples, and kind of miss the whole thing about the Lord Jesus giving an example of serving the disciples, of serving one another. And so I think we need to see that, right? We need to see that what he is doing is that you call me Master and Lord, and so maybe don't let foot washing distract you, okay? It could be, Aaron, getting a glass of water. What have you done? Like you've done an act of service for somebody else. The Lord Jesus could have, he could have gone out and got the upper room, right? He could have done that. And he would have been taking on the form of the servant, making preparations for what was going to be done that night. We could substitute any other example, but if we grab a hold of servanthood, or if you really want to get more blunt about it, if you grab a hold of slave, what does a slave do? The slave does something that you don't want to do. You direct the slave to do something for you that you don't want to do. What do you do for a servant? You hire things that you don't want to do yourself, so you hire somebody else to do it, a servant. And so Jesus is saying, listen, with that in mind, he says, you call me Master and Lord, that is right. But if I am your Master and Lord, and I have served you, so you ought to serve one another. Now, let's go back. Let's keep this thread going and connecting these thoughts, because we're talking about living our Christian life together in community. We're talking about living our Christian life with our brothers and sisters in Christ. We're talking about living our life with our families, the mom and dad and children, and we're talking about living life with siblings, like that. Callan just he didn't get knocked off the top man position, right? But King got knocked off the bottom man position. Now he's no longer the baby of the family. Now he's the middle man, right? So the things changed right there. But how about siblings living together, right? Siblings, one, now there's sibling rivalries. There's some, you know, some things happen amongst siblings there. But what about this concept of by love serve one another? By love serve one another. By love take on the role as a servant. By love, take on the role, the form of a slave. By love, do for others what they don't want to do for themselves. By love, take your hands and serve the other. My brother and sister in Christ. My brother and sister that's always around me. You know, the Lord Jesus set this example, and not only does he say that I've given you example that you should do it, verse 15, For I've given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. But look at verse 17. There's a promise that accompanies it. It says, if you know these things, happy are you if you do them. And so, hey, it's like it's this incredible benefit to where you follow God's word, you follow God's example, and the very thing that you thought you were going to get if you would have somebody serve you, well, you took the role of the servant, you are happy. God's reward is happy are you if you do them. Aaron, the water's getting a lot of mileage. Go to Philippians chapter 2, please. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3, it says this, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Do we see a consistency in line of thinking here of the fact that let God's beauty be upon us. Let the work of our hands be established. I'm a workman unto God, not saved by my works, but saved for to do works. And as we examine Scripture, that by love we're to do works to others. By love, serve one another. And then we consider the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave us an incredible example of serving one another. And so we read, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. What is this? I am not thinking of myself more highly than I ought to think. I'm not thinking of myself better than my brother or my sister in Christ. I'm looking to be able to verse 4, let's just read that. Look not every man or every person on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. And then verse 5 goes in to say, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. It was in Christ Jesus' mind the very night he was washing the disciples' feet, right? That mind was in him. That he was not esteeming himself better than them. In fact, he was serving them. He was not concerned with himself only. He was concerned with them. And, you know, this whole passage really fits, doesn't it? Look at verse 7. He made himself of no reputation. He made himself of no reputation and took on the form of a servant. That's an example he's given to us. And that's a really hard concept for the human psyche to embrace. I'm going to make myself of no reputation. I've worked hard for my reputation. What do you mean, make myself of no reputation? Reputation means something. I want to... But you know what? A good reputation among men is a correct thing. A good reputation among the public is a good thing. Where's the reputation matter? It's in your own mind. You make yourself of no reputation in your own mind. You're able to serve one another. By love, serve one another. Go to 1 Peter, please. 1 Peter. When you get to 1 Peter, go to chapter 4 and verse 10. Still continuing the same thought, the same line. By love, serve one another. In 1 Peter, we have this written, 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10. As every man hath received the gift, so let him minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Now, you would, when we read this, verse 10, every man, that's gender neutral, so it's every person, right? It's just mankind. And so let every person, let every believer, as you have received the gift, this is talking about, this is more than the gift of salvation. This is referring to the spiritual gift that you will receive, gift or gifts that you receive at the moment of salvation. And so as every person has received a gift, well, you might know what your spiritual gift is. I would encourage everyone to know what their spiritual gift is. It's a spiritual enablement, a divine enablement to, guess what? Work with your hands. It's to be able to carry out a function that the Lord Jesus has given you. Remember when Christ prayed, excuse me. Remember when Christ prayed, or when he taught the disciples to pray, one of the phrases he says is that, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. God's kingdom is his plan. He's got the whole thing laid out. He understands what he wants to do and accomplish, and you and I are part of that plan. When he says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, is your part in his plan. Right? You're part in his plan. And he gives you spiritual gifts to carry out your part of his plan, your function in his plan. And so, as all believers have received the gift, the spiritual enablement to do God's purpose, God's plan, even so minister. Now this word minister, some of you might have, serve, right? Even so, serve. Who are we going to serve? Serve one another. And then he amps it up a little bit. Serve as a good steward of the manifold grace of God. Manifold means multifaceted. So here we have this. By love, serve one another. I've been given a gift, a spiritual enablement to serve my brother and sister in Christ. I take this. I employ this. Think about spiritual gifts. Giving. The gift of faith. Gift of encouragement. Teaching. Gift of evangelism. Gift of pastoral care. What's another one? Say again?
Exhortation.
That's a good one. Thanks for exhorting me about that. And so, look, can we serve one another with these? In fact, 1 Corinthians chapter 7 says that these spiritual gifts have been given so the whole body could profit, the whole body would benefit. And so when you are employing your spiritual gift, guess what? The whole body is benefiting. And I'll tell you what else. You know what? You're going to realize that promise that the Lord Jesus told the disciples about. If you do it, happy are you. Happy are you. You're going to be happy. You're going to be satisfied. You're going to understand, like, I'm following what God wants me to do. Go back to Galatians, now to chapter 6, though. Galatians chapter 6. And we see one more thing. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10. As we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men. The next phrase says, especially to them that are the household of faith. By love, serve one another. Yes, we are going to do the works of our hands are going to, it's going to be to all men. It's going to be to all mankind. It's going to be to men and women, saved or not. But he says, especially serve the household of faith. And that's our brothers and sisters in Christ. And so what's been on my mind and my heart here tonight is to think about the fact that God does have a wonderful plan. Oh, Lord, let your beauty Let your beauty be upon us. He has a wonderful plan. And we could ask God to establish the work of our hands. And the work of our hands, I'm making a connection to the fact that we've been saved unto good works. He's given us a spiritual enablement to do a spiritual work, a spiritual acting out of a gift, a spiritual gift. We're to love one another. We're to show our love to one another by serving one another, not thinking of ourselves more highly than we ought to think, but by taking on the form or the role of a servant in order to minister, to connect with one another, to serve one another. And we're to do this. We're to have the opportunity to play this out to the household of faith, to the strengthening of the body. And so, you know, just the way when we started out, we were talking about, like, what are some examples of how we, what we do with our hands? And we talked about some different trades and different business things, and we talked about preparing a meal and raising kids, and we talked about all these variety of different things. And there's a variety of different ways that you can serve one another. Same way that I made the mistake of kind of missing the point of John chapter 13 by just saying we don't have to do foot washing. We sometimes miss the point about serving one another. By love, serve one another. We think we got to go, like, wash somebody's feet. Well, that's a way to serve them. No, I mean, it could be something practical, but it can come about in a variety of different ways. And here's this concept of taking, like, your spiritual gift or being spirit-led. Ask the Lord, how do I serve my brother? Ask the Lord, how do I take and by love serve one another? What do you want me to do, Lord? You know, I'll make this recommendation and this little suggestion. Call it an experiment if you want to. Among the group here at Western Wake, pick out five people this week. Pick out five people. You can pick your five. And every day this week, pray for those five people and ask the Lord, Lord, how can I, by love, serve Michael this week? How can I, by love, serve Les this week? Ask the Lord for five people and see what He lays on your heart. See what He prompts you to do. And think about the thread of verses that we thought about tonight. I'm not saying this is just like go do some random act of kindness. All that might be what it is. But I'm trying to express that God has things He wants us to do. He wants the body to love and serve and minister to one another. And so a way to cultivate that connection with each other. You know, you pray every day this week for these five people. And as the Lord prompts you, then do whatever it is. Some act of service, some way the Lord will put on your heart. I think you'll be pleasantly surprised as the Lord gives you direction in that. All right, we're going to wrap up. Any questions or comments before we close in prayer? Okay. Heavenly Father, we do give thanks. Father, there's things in your word that are, well, we're going to describe them as spiritual. And we are men and women of flesh. And so, Father, we do need, we're thankful that you gave us the Spirit to be able to be led into all truth. And we want to better understand what it means to, by love, serve one another. We want to understand better the very reason that you saved us is that we could minister to one another. The very fact that you would use us to carry out your function, your purposes here on earth, that you would use us to spread the gospel, that you would use us to be your church, that you would use us to form your bride, and the bride would be instructed to multiply itself. And so, Father, we pray. We pray for good understanding about these truths that we've looked at in Scripture. We pray for practical ways to play them out, to put them into practice. We think about the Lord Jesus Christ saying, if you do them, we want to do them. We want to take some action this week on the things we've considered tonight. And we pray it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.